Some brave soul can turn those fans. Thank you, John. You guys can have the air. So you watch me sweat up here, you'll feel good about yourself, how comfortable you feel. John, you see, the point is, go out as far as the little cord will let you. That way it gets a little closer to the people. We aim for excellence here, perfection. So take this one out, same way. Get it out as far as it'll go without coming unplugged. There you go, John. See, I come every week and check that. Did you know that? Did you guys know that? Every week I come and check that. I try to make sure each one is turning at the proper angle. Some of these are broke, though, so I can't fix those. Well, let's see. First thing we got to start off with is... I got to correct something Carl said. It just never fails, that Carl. You know, you just never know what he's going to say. We're not moving to the Urban Refuge. They're a church that meets on Sunday morning. We're moving to the Urban Building on Friday night, September 10th. We got new chairs, we got new carpet, we got a pink bathroom for you ladies, and two brand new bathrooms that those guys put in. Very, very nice of them. We got a brand new soundboard, got some cool lights. I cannot wait for the chance to meet when I don't have to wait 20 minutes coming down Lindale to merge onto that road to get down here to Hennepin. Can I get an amen? Thank you very much. So we'll be down there on 55th and Chicago. We'll give you some new little maps, new little directions. It's a nice, quiet area, not far from Lake Nokomis, with a bunch of other restaurants for you guys to go to. And we can't wait. This fall we're going to put 1,000 posters. Remember the poster days? 1,000 posters. All over the city, all over St. Thomas, all over the U of M, all over St. Kate's, all over. And some billboards and transit, bus stop, you know, benches. And we're going to let everybody know where we're at, what we're doing. So, just keep that in your calendar. September 10th, it's a Friday night. It'll be the Friday night after Labor Day weekend. We will no longer be here, but we'll still be here. Just down at the Urban Building, 55th in Chicago, Friday night, 7:30. So remember that. We got about, I don't know, I didn't count exactly. I think it's 5 or 6 more Fridays here. So, I want to extend a very special welcome to you guys that are involved in the mission of the city. Guys and gals, thank you for coming here tonight, and thank you for serving the Lord. It's great to have all of you. You know, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you to think about this for a moment. What is it that really burns on your heart? What is it that really burns in your desires? What is it that you really want most in life? And I'm going to answer that tonight and tell you what I want most in life and what I want most in life when I was a young man. More than anything else in my life, more than any other thing, I wanted God to use my life. I did not want to be like so many Christians are. They're Christians. They believe the gospel. They know Jesus Christ. They attend church on a regular basis, sometimes every week, sometimes once a month. Once in a while, they crack their Bible and they just go to their job and they live their life and they buy their nice house and they have their nice stuff and they have a nice Christian wedding and then they have a nice Christian funeral and then they go be with the Lord. That life, that description, these fans are out of balance right here. We got to get these people a little more air over here. It's like these guys are hogging all the air. John, you see how that fan's going like that? Yeah, just turn it. There you go. Okay, we got to have it balanced. You know, the arc. Thank you. I was thinking about you guys. I don't know. Thoughtfulness is my middle name. Anyway, to me, that kind of life, and I really mean this, was as despicable to me as living a reprobate life. In other words, the lukewarm Christian life, the ordinary Christian life was as despicable to me, as putrid to me, when I started following Jesus, as the life I used to live. The second greatest desire that I have, and I wake up every day thinking about this, is how can I prepare you men and women to be used greatly by God? That's what Faith Walkers is about. That's what Unite is about. That is what every single thing we do as a church is about. Everything. How can I get you ready? How can I motivate you, inspire you, challenge you, nudge you, stir you up, get in your face, teach you, equip you, educate you, train you, so that you can be used greatly by God? I do not want a church full of people who are just ordinary individuals going through the mundane things of life without an awareness of God and God's power and God's purpose and what God wants to do in your life, without a sense of calling. When we were singing that little chant, it just kind of over and over, we are your children, your sons and daughters. We are your chosen ones. Maybe I'll have Jeremy come up and do that at the end again, but I want you to think about those words. Do you understand that you've been chosen by God for an extraordinary reason? Do you understand that you're the sons and daughters of a king? The only king. Do you understand that God's intent is that His Word would burn on your tongue and on your heart and on your life, and that your life would be one that is fit for the Master's use? So, that is the purpose for this series, what you need to succeed. And my main desire is to see you succeed in the kingdom of God. Now, all the things that I'm going to share with you will certainly help you succeed in your life, in your marriage, on your job, with your finances, etc. And all those things are part of God's purpose. I mean, actually, to be really honest, it's very important that you as a Christian have your finances in order. It's really important that you succeed with your money. When I say that, I don't mean the kind of things that you so often see on television and the prosperity gospel and God wants you to be rich and God wants you to be able to drive that Cadillac. I'm talking about the importance of ordering your life in a disciplined manner, in a focused manner, with the right priorities, so that what God gives to you, you might use it effectively for His glory, for His purpose, for His kingdom, for reaching others for Jesus Christ, and for loving the people in your life that God has called you to love with your resources. God has a purpose for every single thing in your life. And I shared this with you last week. I want to share it with you again. So many people will say, and they have this little, it's just kind of a little Christian saying, all that really matters is your heart. All that, just got to have a good heart. All that God requires is a heart that's completely His. Well, that's a starting point. That's true. That's where you start. But you got to have a lot more than a heart for God. You know what you have to have? You have to have character. Everybody's got character. You've got to have good character. You've got to have godly character. You've got to develop your spiritual life, your moral life, your thought life, your passions, your desires, your habits, your discipline, if God is going to use you greatly. When I was a young man, young Christian, I devoured. I got to tell you, I'm not really a sci-fi sort of a guy. Like Skeletor wasn't really my thing. But I understand. And by the way, guys, it was so nice of you to teach us a moral lesson through that Rock TV tonight. It really actually goes along with the message of self-control. And I guess it's a good idea not to lose it at Burger King. Well, it's a good idea not to lose it at your house too, but sometimes that's a little more challenging. But anyway, I love biographies. I love the truth. I love the real life experiences of men and women who walk with God. And so as a young man, I read just about everyone that I could get my hands on that was recommended to me. And as I read it, I allowed these books to whet my appetite for the greater things of God. But one of the things that I did as I read through every biography was I observed. The Bible says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. So I obviously couldn't know Hudson Taylor. I couldn't know Jim Elliot. I couldn't know Ananira Judson. But I could walk with them through the pages of their life. And I noticed something very significant. I noticed that every one of them had an unbelievably devout, disciplined life. They were flawed. They made mistakes. They were imperfect. But they were very focused. They were very given to God. And they worked very hard, as I talked about last week. Hard work. Hard work was the beginning of developing your character. A hard working mentality and spirit and diligence. The Bible says that the precious possession of a man is diligence. Now I want to illustrate real quickly, sum up the message last week. Have you ever heard somebody say to you, you know, I just didn't get around to it. Diligence always gets around to it. That's why diligence is the precious possession of a man or a woman. Diligence gets it done. There are thousands of people today that live their life with the excuse, I just didn't get around to it. I didn't get around to my money. I didn't get around to caring for the resources and the things that God gave me. I didn't get around to caring for my possessions. I didn't get around to caring for the leaky roof. I didn't get around to dealing with the things in the car that were broken that needed fixed. I just didn't get around to it. One excuse after another to disguise our laziness. Diligence gets it done. Ladies, read Proverbs 31. What do you think it means when it says she burns her candle late into the night and is not afraid to rise early before her children and maidens get up? Diligence gets it done. Gets it done. One of the management styles that I have, because one of the things I'm responsible for is manage the church, is I surround myself with people who I do not have to follow up and babysit them to make sure something got done. You see, that's one of the things I look for in people. One of the things that I observe is I'm going to tell you very clearly, I'm going to ask you, I'll present to you very clearly what needs to be done, how to get it done, what tools you need. And I do not want to have to check up on it again. Now, if there's questions, you can call. You can call. We can talk for hours about questions. But I'm not the kind of guy who wants to keep following you down like your mother, figuring out, did you get it done? Diligence gets it done. And if you want to be used by God, you've got to develop a diligent, hard-working spirit that says, no matter what, I will overcome the obstacles by faith in God's promises. By my God, I can leap a wall. By my God, I can attack a troop. All things. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I don't care if it takes 50 hours a week, 70 hours a week, 90 hours a week. I've done it all. I am going to get it done. And I'm going to do the next thing God puts in front of me. Move it aside, it's done. Get to the next thing God puts in front of me. Procrastination, God cannot use procrastinators. And He won't. I'm telling you, He won't. It's like a sore tooth. Proverbs says, an unreliable employee is like chewing on a sore tooth. Or walking on a broken leg. It just doesn't work right. But tonight what I want to talk with you about is something equally important that each of us must develop in our character. And the first passage I want to read tonight is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and I want you to think about this because this is very important. Today, you and I live in a society, and we live with a Christian mentality that basically says this: just go get a good Bible degree, go to seminary, store up a lot of facts, be able to know the Greek and the Hebrew, and know your hermeneutics, and know your dispensations, and God can use you. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. First of all, there's not one guy in the New Testament that God used that ever went to a Bible school or a seminary. If you want to go, that's your choice. But there is not one guy in the New Testament that God used that did not have character. Character. And this one, the Apostle Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You must run. Christian, you must run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice strict self-discipline. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I'm not like a boxer who misses his punches. I discipline my body. I beat my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. You see what he says there? We all know that Paul was being used by God. But here's the thing that Paul's saying. He said, if you lose that fire, if you lose that focus, if you lose that self-discipline, if you forget that our Olympic competition, it doesn't come every 4 years. It's every day. It's every day till you die. We are to have this fire burning in us to give God my best, to go in pursuit of the highest for His utmost, to give God everything we've got. None of us are perfect. The goal is consistency. I've shared that with you before. The goal is consistency. Consistency to keep striving and to bring self-discipline into our lives. Train ourselves, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself, Paul writes to Timothy, for the purpose of godliness. To this young son, I always find it so intriguing to read 1 and 2 Timothy with this in mind. Paul is not writing to a church. But in these two epistles, letters, as we call them, Paul is writing to his young son in the faith, to his young protege. And it is so rich with what Paul is telling Timothy. As a discipler to a disciple, as an apostle to a young elder, as an apostle to a young Christian. Go after it, Timothy. Go after it. Train yourself. Train yourself. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Now, all of us here probably think to ourselves, well, Mark, of course I need to discipline my quiet time. I need to make sure I get into the Word. I need to make sure I meditate on the Word. I need to make sure that I pray. I want to make sure that I witness. Those are all true. But your life is so much more than that. God wants you to discipline yourself physically. Do athletes eat whatever they want? Do athletes just let themselves go? No, they do not. They do not. God wants us to bring every area of our lives under His lordship. Our thoughts, our habits, our speech, our passions, our desires. Everything about us, our finances, our talents. He wants us to bring them under His lordship, and He wants us to bring discipline into our world, discipline into our lives. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, geez, Mark, you know, I never grew up that way, nor did I. But let me share with you a tremendous verse that has helped me and I believe will help you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, of timidity, of thinking to ourselves, oh, I just can't do this. I can't do this. It's not me. That's not the spirit God gave us. God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. We were singing tonight the song Holy Ghost. God has put His ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, inside of you and I. All of God lives inside of us. All the deity of heaven lives in you and I. All the power of God is available to us. To conquer, to beat down, to discipline the ugly flesh that dwells in every single one of us. It's not something, okay? This is very important that you understand. Godliness is not something that you and I accomplish on our own. It is something that we accomplish in partnership with God as we strive. As we strive. Many years ago, I give you little examples. Many years ago, I was 32. And I was wrestling with my kids one day in the living room, and I got winded pretty fast. My heart was pounding, and I was noticing that every birthday was starting to match my waist. And it was just going and going and going. And I was realizing, you know, first of all, I'm not being a very good example to my children. And second of all, I've only got one body. It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I don't worship my body, but I would certainly like to get as much mileage out of this body as I can, so that God could use me. So, you know, when you're 32 years old and you haven't been doing anything for some time. I mean, in high school, I got all those presidential physical fitness awards. You know, the chin-ups. I had record for chin-ups. I had record for most sit-ups in 2 minutes. I had the standing long jump thing. I hated the 600 run, but I did it. And the 50-yard dash. We had those kind of things when I was in high school. But since that time, I had drifted from my moorings. We had just made the Herschel Walker trade. Some of you remember that. Some of you were just little kids then. And Herschel Walker was doing an article one day in the paper talking about all the push-ups and all the crunches he does every day. And I thought to myself, you know what? Doggone it. I got to get on the ball. Okay? I got to get on the ball. So I started popping down next to my desk doing 10 push-ups at a time. And my first week was 50. I'd do 50 during the day. I didn't even get into athletic clothes. And then I get down to do a few crunches, like 20. Now, the next day I thought I was going to die. I hurt really bad. Really bad. I just kept at it. 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 That was 19 years ago. I'm still doing it. But longer. And more. And then my wife got me a total gym. And I started adding that. And then I started to get on the bike. I was so bored. I'd sit there and I was just pedaling. I'm like, oh, I hope 10 minutes is up really soon. Jeez, this is boring. And I'd sit there riding the bike. And finally, one of my friends broke the news to me. He said, look, Mark, unless you do 20 minutes a day at your target heart rate, you might as well not even do it. He's a real encourager. Got the gift of encouragement. And I was like, man, is that deflating? So I thought to myself, nope, don't listen to that, Mark. Baby steps. He's telling you truth. You need to work up to 20 minutes. So this week, we're going to go up to 15 minutes. Don't worry about your target heart rate. And then we're going to get up to 20. And then when I can do 20, and then I'll start working up to my target heart rate. So I did. Now I'm 54. My blood pressure is 109 over 60 with a 66 resting heart rate. Now that ain't too bad for an old guy. When I told this to my mom the other day, her jaw about dropped. Now that isn't perfect. That isn't great. But let me tell you, God wants you and I to be disciplined. He wants us to be disciplined. It is not a good testimony when we are living undisciplined lives. Just isn't. It just isn't. Now some of you go, well, I got the body thing down. Yeah, but you got to work on the speech thing. Your mouth is trouble. Some of us got to work on the way we get up in the morning. Some of us are constantly late to work because we're undisciplined. Some of us have trouble getting up to go to work because we're undisciplined about going to bed. Some of us are always in money trouble, not because of circumstances God has brought. Sometimes God brings us in circumstances, and let me tell you, He'll bring us in circumstances that will stretch us, and they're trials, and there's no way you can be on top of everything. But generally speaking, God wants us to bring self-discipline to our money, to our spending habits. That we learn how. What does the Bible tell us in Titus? The grace of God teaches us to say no. See, we've been given the power to say no. No, I don't need that. No, I'm not going to spend on that. No, that's not really that important. God has given us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. We're going to get into love in the weeks to come. Because let me tell you something. Our business is a people business. And if you don't have the characteristics of how to effectively deal with people, God can't use you and God won't use you. If you want to lead other people, If you want to have an influence on other people, let me tell you something. My number one prayer, besides God use me, is God let me influence others so they change. In my world, there is nothing more important than influence. How do I influence others? How do I motivate? How do I inspire? How do I change them to go in a specific direction? First and foremost, listen very carefully to this. You cannot influence others till you learn to influence yourself. You cannot lead others until you lead yourself by the power of God. Your flesh is going to be one of the great enemies that you have. And if you take the attitude that Paul did, remember, we're in a race. We're in a race. Okay? Now listen, you may think I've been doing this a long time. And I have. Longer than most of you have been alive. I've been doing this 35 years. But at any moment, if I were to sort of throw in the develop my character towel, if I were just to go, you know, Lord, I just want to coast. I don't really want this athlete thing anymore, this athlete mindset. I would disqualify myself from God using me. He doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you don't bring this focus, if you don't bring this sense of purpose, if you don't bring this sense of commitment, if you don't get serious about your character, you're going to disqualify yourself from God being able to use you in His Olympic Games. And that's all there's to it. There's another area, very significant area, that God wants to use self-discipline in, and that is your thoughts. Now, I want to tell you from experience, just about everything I've talked to you here about tonight does not come easy to me. I really don't know if it comes easy to anybody, but all of us have been given different personalities and different temperaments by God. I grew up in an environment in which I kind of did, as a high school student, whatever I wanted to do. I just did whatever I felt like doing. Our mantra, I used to have a t-shirt that said, if it feels good, do it. I mean, you don't know this, but that was the cultural axiom of the early 70s. If it feels good, do it. And if it doesn't feel good, by all means, don't do it. And that's how I lived. So I went to high school. I never took one book home. I never studied. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like it. I got A's in phys ed. I got A's in music. And I got a D in algebra. And I got C's and D's in everything else. By just simply, this is what the teacher said in class, and I just faked my way through. I didn't cheat. I really didn't. I just didn't study. I didn't care. It didn't motivate me. I didn't see any purpose in it. I was very undisciplined. I only did what I liked to do. And then when I got out of high school, I took up hitchhiking, and I just did what I liked to do. And then Christ intervened in my life. And all of a sudden, I began to realize that if Christ is going to be my Lord, I'm going to have to do a lot of stuff I don't want to do. Doesn't feel good to me to do. Doesn't feel natural. But I love the Lord. And I mean this. Love was my motivation. I loved Him. I loved Him so much. He changed my life. Saved me from so much that I said, Lord, whatever it costs me, I want You to change me. And I mean, man, you could just go down the list. Mark's mouth had to change. My speech, I mean, I was just always sticking my foot in my mouth. And I mean, I still have to work on my speech. I'm not arrived. I don't want anyone to misunderstand or I haven't arrived. This is a quest. And I'm still on that quest to be more and more like my Savior. I had to work on my habits. I had to work on my work habits. I had to work on my thought life. I want to talk to you a little bit about your thought life. If you don't develop habits in your thought life of thinking what's good and true and lovely and admirable and praiseworthy. If you don't learn to turn your worries, all of us worry no matter who we are, into prayers and take them to God. If you don't learn to express those things to God. If you don't learn to believe what's true and throw out the lies. If you don't learn, no matter how you feel, to hold on to what God says is true and learn to bring discipline to your thought life, God will not be able to use you. And secondly, let me add, you're going to have a very difficult life. You're going to be regularly discouraged. You're going to be very prone, some of you, to get depressed. You're going to be prone to be down all the time. You're going to be prone to just have a critical spirit. Nothing's ever going to seem right in your world until you and I learn to think rightly. And that comes through practice, through the development of habits in our life. And all these things that we've gone over here are habits. I remember when I first started working with my money, okay? I was the kind of person, I mean this, I'm not proud of it, I'm just telling you honestly. I'd get money, I worked very hard in high school. In fact, I worked 40 hours a week in high school. That's usually why I didn't bring books home. I was more interested in working and getting money. And I spent every dime I had, never saved a penny. I spent everything I had on my girlfriend, if I had one at the time. Otherwise, I just spent it on my car. Or I spent it on, every Saturday morning, I'd send my brothers down to a little corner grocery store when we were watching cartoons, and I'd pay them a quarter to get me Highland Barbecue potato chips, Hostess Twinkies, Fanta Red Pop, and Pepsi. Oh, yeah, and a sundae, you know, with the cone, you know, with the nuts on top, and the caramel down the middle and the chocolate on the outside. That's what I'd eat every Saturday morning. All my money was gone. Then I got married later in life. And that's another story, because God will bring trials into your life to build your character. That's a beautiful thing about God. One of the things about God is He's working with you through the trials. He's trying to accomplish great things in your life through the trials that He's brought. They are the character developers. Now, as you go through those trials, you learn to develop habits in those trials. You learn to develop habits through the difficulties. If you don't, well, it's going to be a very difficult road. So I remember my first budget. I still do it to this day. I'm not a computer guy, a computer savvy guy. So I have these 7-column notebooks that I buy at Target. I buy like 5 or 6 of them at a time. They last about 3 years. And every month, I write down my budget. And I put the dates at the top. And I write down everything I know I'm going to spend. And I write it in pencil. And then when I write the check, I write the amount. And then I write down this miscellaneous area, everything that gets spent. My wife doesn't always like that, but I write it down. I started to learn to set little goals for myself. I started to glean from the men that I was around. I asked them questions. I learned some of their habits. I learned how to live beneath my means. I learned how to drive frugally. And I mean, it just doesn't matter to me. There are so many things that used to matter, does not matter to me today. When I was a young man, I had a sports car. That was very important for me to have a sports car. Today, I drive an 18-year-old car with no air conditioner. The radio doesn't work. I don't really care. It gets 30 miles a gallon. It's pretty reliable. It's got 162,000 miles. I paid $1,200 for it. It'll last me a while. I don't care. The world is not going to enslave me anymore. I don't care. I have other priorities. But that took time, and it took devotion, you see, and it took a commitment to grow in those things and to keep growing in those things. And that's what God is looking for. God is looking for genuine desire that says, I'm going to grow in these things, and you start taking little steps, kind of like, what about Bob? Baby steps. But you got to take them. You got to take them. And then the baby steps turns into a toddler step. And then the toddler step turns into a young child step. And then a young child step turns into preteen steps. And then preteen steps turns into teenager steps. You see, the difference between, and I'll end on this, the difference between human growth and growing as a Christian is that human growth, basically all you got to do is stick food into their mouth, and you can't help it. They're going to go from crawling to walking, from walking to running, from preteen to teen, from teen to an adult. You just can't stop it unless you poison them or do something else. I wish that God would have made Christians that way, but He didn't. Everything that happens in your personal growth happens for two reasons. One, God brings trials into your life, and you learn to respond to those trials and allow God to grow you. But two, you grow because of the choices you decide to make. And then you learn to make them over and over and over and over and over again. Sometimes multiple times a day, multiple times a week. And you build new habits. And then as you get older, things become better for you. You become more useful to God. And God is able to work profoundly in and through your life. Self-discipline and self-control doesn't just mean restraining yourself from bad things, but it also means making yourself do right things. I know many a Christian that claims to love God that has two-hour quiet times, but whenever it's time to help clean the house, they're never around. Whenever it's time to do their laundry, they just shove it all in at one time. I've learned a lot over these years about the fact that faithfulness in little things is a big deal to God. It's a big deal to God. How you clean your home, how you keep your bathroom, how you keep your car, how you deal with yourself, how you keep yourself. Faithfulness in a little thing, God then knows you'll be faithful in much. But if you're not faithful in the little things, God knows you will not be faithful in much. Therefore, I will not give you much. I will not use you much because I cannot. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight that you've given us a different kind of spirit. You've given us a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. We ask you, God, that you would work in each and every life in this auditorium. No matter how old, no matter how young, no matter what our issues are, no matter what our upbringing was, we have a new Father. We have new blood in our veins. We have a new heritage. And we have the power of God and the Spirit of God in our lives. Give us the tenacity and the burn inside of us to say, Lord, here I am. Use me and help me grow. In Jesus' name, amen. There's some nice cold refreshments outside. You can just stand up, gather around these fans. God bless you. Thank you.